We are busy with this series, very, very popular series, called Momentum. And if you see the artwork there, the fine writing, you know you should always just read the fine writing below, eh? Okay, so here it is. Getting from where you are to where you want to be. Okay, that's very important because, you know, often in life, it just feels to us if we're moving forward, but actually we're treading water. Have you ever seen somebody in a swimming pool treading water? They don't get anywhere. They don't advance anywhere, but, you know, the legs are moving and they're tiring themselves out, okay? It is very much like, you know, a treadmill. You know, you can run on a treadmill. You can put this thing. I've seen this in a gym. Guys sprinting on this thing. It looks like they're running the 100 meters in 10 seconds. Okay, so let me just see. Okay, start, stop. Okay, this is the fast button. Okay, let's see. Okay, so this is basically what it looks like, okay? Often in life, we think we have momentum, but we actually don't. We think we're going forward and we're moving, and it looks like there's motion, and it looks like we're going somewhere, but actually we're standing still. We're just getting absolutely nowhere. Isn't it strange that life can sometimes deal us a blow that can break our personal momentum completely? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I spoke to you on momentum, and I said that broken people that are torn apart, people that are broken, often needs to become whole before a new momentum can develop in their lives. And you will remember that I said you need to hit the stop button and allow God to make some inputs in your life so that can give you a kind of momentum again, all right? Sometimes we need to just hit the stop button. Sometimes we need to pause. But brokenness will give you the effect you will think you're moving somewhere, but you're actually treading water. You're just going nowhere. Just similarly, maybe like I'm walking here and it's taking me absolutely nowhere. All right? And then last week, I spoke to you on something different. I said that often our lives become so busy. We think we're going somewhere, but actually we're not. Life just keeps us so busy. We're treading, okay? And we're moving all the time. And we're consuming a lot of energy. It's tiring us out. But spiritually, there's just no momentum. Because our lives are so busy, so unscheduled, so many things that keep us busy, busy, busy. And then I said that what God wants to do is, God really wants to just help us and empower us so that our lives can become organized, so that we can get into His rest, so that God can take us where He wants to take us. And it's these things in life that sometimes just keep us back so that we can't move forward. We think we're going somewhere, but actually, you ain't going nowhere, man. All right, so this week, I just want to continue this message, and I want to talk to you also about momentum in a completely different area of your life, okay? I'm convinced that God wants you to enjoy life. I'm convinced that God also wants you to be a nice person, okay? You know the people there in the Cape, the Coloureds, they've got a saying, and I'll try and translate this, but in Afrikaans it goes like this. Hulle sê, dis lekker om 'n mens te wees, maar dan moet jy 'n lekker mens wees. Okay, let me just translate this, okay? They say, it's nice to be human, but then you must be a nice human, okay? And often we miss the joy of life because of a lack of personal and spiritual momentum. And God wants to equip you. God wants to impart into your lives. God wants to take you from year to year so that there can be like a spiritual advancement in your personal lives. Some of us can become so miserable, eh? We just walk through life and you know, when you look at some people, it looks like they swallowed an onion, okay? Or a lemon, okay? But life shouldn't be like that. You know what the Word of God says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I know today that God wants you to enter into His fullness. I know that God wants you to move into this place where you can experience the joy of the Lord. And today, I want to speak on a total different topic. And believe it or not, but this is the topic of your personal finances. Because a lot of us are treading water when it comes to our money, when it comes to our possessions. Well, you know, you earn money every month, but you're going nowhere. Okay? You know, some of us even, you know, you get your payslip and you look at this payslip and you think, wow, this is great. Look at all this money. But it's not mine because I've got so much debt to pay and I need to just give it away because it does not belong to me because I borrowed it from somebody else. Now I have to give it to them. And that is often what our lives look like. And listen, yeah, I just want you to relax, okay? I'm not going to take up an offering. I'm not going to, at the end of the meeting, I'm not going to let you complete some other commitment card. So you don't have to worry, okay? I just want to say this before we start. When I speak about money, it is to empower my people, okay? I don't want your money, okay? This is really like that, okay? God does not need your money. But there is power in being financially liberated. You need to taste the blessings of financial freedom. You need to taste the blessings when you grow into obedience unto God. His word empowers us. You know, all the answers for life is in the scriptures. Right here, okay? In the Bible. And even the answers about money, it's all there. We just need to go and look at it, okay? But here is the thing. I think the church sometimes have a big problem, okay? And the problem is, the moment the pastor starts speaking about money, okay, the people just blow up like balloons. Okay? Why do you preach about money again? Okay, and I know that there are some pastors, they preach the prosperity message. They just want people's money. That's all it's about. Okay, you get them all over. You get them among white people. You get them among black people. You get them all over the world. Okay, but this is not what I'm after. What I'm after is that God would start blessing you. That's what I'm after. Really. Because God is my provider. I've been sowing and reaping for many years. I can promise you that. I can give you testimonies that will make your eyes grow big like this. But it didn't start with receiving. It started with giving. It always starts with giving. What you sow, you will reap. Okay? Here it is. If you want lots of maize, you need to sow maize seeds. Okay? Not pumpkin. All right? What you sow is what you will reap. Okay? So here is the thing. I want you to just relax. I want you to understand that money is not evil. Nowhere ever does the Bible say money is evil. Here's what's evil. The love of money is evil. That's what the Word of God says. Money is not evil. In actual fact, I want to tell you today, and by the end of this meeting, you will know it, that money can actually be very, very spiritual. But I would just start with saying this, that God says we cannot serve two masters. It is either God or mammon, okay? Mammon is the god of money, all right? The worldly god of money, all right? So God says either He is master or mammon is master. Now, we often want to bring the two together and we think, you know what, we can serve the God and the money God. You cannot, okay? God says it does not work that way, okay? So, you know what? I will tell the story just now, but here is the thing. When salvation comes to us, It's not only part of our lives that become saved or redeemed. God wants to redeem your whole life. Your money is included in that. God wants to redeem your bank account. God wants to redeem your wallet. Do you understand what I'm saying? It does not help that, you know, we say we've received Jesus Christ, we are saved. Yeah. But now we go on just like the world, and we spend like the world, and we do all the things that the world does, and we allow the world to influence us when it comes to our money. And this is the reason why I say that money can break our momentum, because the Word of God says that if you owe somebody money, he is your master and you his slave. I don't want anybody else to be my master. The only master is Jesus Christ. He's my Savior and he's also my King. He rules and he reigns. Okay, let me just give you this little picture. You need to see this. Say, for instance, I am a king, okay? And you are part of the people in my kingdom, all right? My question is, who is responsible for looking after the people in the kingdom? I would be, because I'm the king. Now, here's the thing about the kingdom of God. It's exactly like that. God looks after his people. Can you give him some praise for that? Yeah. Okay. So, you know what? I know that churches need to be, you know, pastors just need to tread lightly when they speak on finances, eh? Just be careful what you say, okay? Don't talk too much about this, because otherwise we will leave the church and we will go find a church where, you know, listen, it's to empower you. That's what this is about. I've got no alternative motives. I've got no personal agenda. I want to empower you today. And here's the other thing. Pastors are often scared to talk about money. That's the other thing of the church. And people are in debt. People are poor. People are in poverty. People are unwise. They make unwise decisions with their money because pastors are afraid to teach and empower their people. And you standing or sitting before a pastor that is not scared to talk about money. Because you know what? The spirit of mammon has no hold upon me. I ain't scared of him. I'm just being right serious. You can come and threaten me in any kind of way. I don't fear mammon. I fear God. Okay? So, and I can also preach on this because I've gone through everything. I've applied the biblical finances upon my life from the one end right through to the other end. And I know that if you apply these principles, you will be so blessed. You just don't know how blessed you will be. And your children and your grandchildren. Because, you know, pretty much when we talk about finances, I want you to look towards your children and your children's children. Your broader family can come and sit under this tree and they can enjoy the fruit of your obedience. That's what I want to do. Okay, so let's get into this quickly, otherwise we will run out of time. So the question that I have is, who is in charge of your money? Who is in charge of your personal finances? Is it your wife? Is it you? Is it your father? Is it your children? Is it the world economy? Or is it the bank manager? It's like this guy who comes to the bank manager's office, okay? And the manager sits behind the desk and this guy is there. And the manager says to this guy, you know what, please just sit down. Don't, just chill, just relax. Just sit down. And the guy says, You know what, I'll just stay on my knees. Just please, please help me. Okay, all right, so you are a slave of the one you owe money to. You just need to understand that, okay? You just need to understand that. And you know, often we don't have momentum in our finances because we don't apply the wisdom of the Word of God to our money. Okay, we lose momentum and we tread. Okay, it's like walking on this treadmill. Okay, you know what, you're working so hard, but you're just getting nowhere because you're not applying biblical wisdom to your personal finances. And I believe this is probably one of the strongest forms of bondage in Christians' lives. Because the enemy knows if they can serve God and they can be saved and whatever and going to heaven. But you know what? A big part of the fruit is being contained because the spirit of mammon has control over Christians' lives. Okay? I just need you to just catch on to that. And it is just interesting that in the time that we live in, South Africa is a they say we're a third world country. I don't believe it. I think we're a developed country, okay, with a few difficult challenges at the moment. All right? But here is the thing. We plan our finances, we spend our money around one thing, and that is our wants. That is how we plan, that is how we budget, that is how we swipe the cards. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that. Okay, and I want it now. And I'm going to buy it now, so I'm going to swipe the credit card, and I'm going to make debt because I'm not prepared to wait and to save patiently. I want it now. And that's the greatest setback of people in the world. Listen here, I'll tell you one thing. Okay? Nobody can control your money like you yourself can. Not SARS, not the bank, not the world economic system, not your bad salary that you are earning. Okay? You can control it. You are in control of your own money. And you need to understand that because this is powerful. We need to change our thoughts. We need to change our thinking. Okay? And if I have to ask you the question today, are you in control? Are you really in control? Or don't you know where it's going? I mean, you know, you get paid on the 30th of every month and by the 2nd, there's no money in the bank anymore. And then you say, I don't know where the money went. Why don't you start budgeting? Why don't you start planning? Why don't you apply wisdom that God has given us to our personal finances? And you work out a budget. Because a budget will give you momentum. A budget will launch you into a dimension where you are in control, where you plan, and where you even decide where your money goes, not the bank. So we need to budget. And listen here, you might think that, you know, this is a small thing. This is where everything starts going wrong for many believers. Many believers. And world systems get a hold of us because we don't know where our money is going. How can you be a good steward of that which God has given you, but you don't even know where your own money goes? And I've seen the negative effect of bad stewardship. We get people, we counsel people, they come and sit before us, marriage is falling apart, and one of the number one causes is money. Okay? Money makes enemies. Money makes enemies in families. Money creates bitterness and unforgiveness. Money breaks down the relationship of trust. And you want to tell me money is not spiritual? You want to tell me money is not spiritual? I think money can be very spiritual in certain situations. But I want to tell you, I also see the positive side. I see people who for generations have been teaching their children and their grandchildren how to work with money. Okay? Listen, let me just give you a tip. If you've got a notebook, you just need to write this down. This is profound. Why do you think rich people are rich? I'll tell you why. Because they didn't spend everything. That's the reason why rich people are rich, because they don't use it all up. You can go look at your grandpa, great-great-great-grandpa, probably was not a millionaire. He became a millionaire because he didn't use everything. So, I want to take you to a story in the Bible, a very profound story, and that is the story of Zacchaeus. Okay? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Zacchaeus, the guy that got up into the tree, into the fig tree? Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus. Okay, Zacchaeus. Okay, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. Okay, Zacchaeus. There was the short guy, Zacchaeus. And Jesus came into Jericho. He probably would have slept over there on his way back to Galilee from Jerusalem. And here he hears there's a crowd and everybody's rumbling. And he asks what's going on. And the people say, no, Jesus is coming past here. And Zacchaeus says, I want to see this guy. I want to see Jesus. And he gets up in a tree and his whole life changes. His whole life. Let's just pick up on the story in Luke chapter 19, verse 5. Zacchaeus, Jesus speaking to him now. He saw him in the tree. So Jesus says to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay in your house. I just want you to see something here. This is a story of salvation. It's got nothing to do with Zacchaeus' house. It's got to do with his heart. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, that's the people, saying he has gone to be a guest in a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. Okay, here's this guy searching with his heart for Jesus. He invites Jesus into his life. He says, Jesus, come and dine with me. Come and have a meal with me. And this guy gets touched and his whole life is transformed. And he makes this decision about his what? His money. He says, I will give half of it to the poor. And if I have ever corrupted anybody, okay, if I have ever bribed anybody or I've cheated on them, I will restore them fourfold. Listen, this story is in the Bible so that you and I can see that God wants to redeem not only your heart, but your wallet. It's important that you see this. This is so profound. But you know what? All we read about, or all we learn about Zacchaeus is, Zacchaeus in Sunday school, he was the small man. We've got a little song about it. I don't even know how it goes anymore. But you know, he got up in a tree and he saw Jesus, and Jesus called him. The whole thing. Zacchaeus was a kleine man, and a baie kleine man was hy. You know that thing, huh? Okay. So, but this is such a profound story. This guy, believe it or not, he was a tax collector. He worked for SARS. The Jews hated him. They didn't even want tax collectors to enter the temple. And in fact, they actually spat on him when they walked past him. But this profound thing happens in this guy's life. He's so consumed with money. His whole life revolves around money. And in one moment, Jesus says, I'm going to redeem you. But I'm not only going to redeem your house, I'm going to redeem your money too. That's complete redemption. Listen to me. If God saves, he wants to save everything. Your children, your marriage, your money, your everything. Allow God to bring salvation to your whole life, not only parts of it. I'll tell you what happens. You know what? Sometimes we have this attitude. I worked for it. It's mine. Don't tell me what to do with my money. Okay, I worked hard for it. Hard-earned money. Don't tell me what to do with it, okay? And that's often our arrogant, I think it's arrogant, attitude. And now Jesus enters Zacchaeus' life, Zacchaeus' life, and this guy's eyes open, and he looks suddenly, he views it in a total different way. Totally different. From a crook. He worked for SARS, man. He worked for the government. And everything changes. And his eyes change. And suddenly, he has a total different viewpoint on this issue. Totally different. I want to tell you today that you need to invite the whole kingdom of God into your life. You know, we sing a song, Lord, reign in me again. I remember there was a time that I would stand in church with my eyes closed and I would be so fully surrendered and I would just cry, the tears would run down my eyes. And I would just yearn and I would just ask God, Lord, just come and take over my whole life. I give it all. It's a mess. Just take it all. But still, there's a kind of wanting to control. And you know what's the amazing thing? Jesus didn't accuse this guy of anything. He didn't say to him, hey, Zacchaeus, you know, you need to sort yourself out. Nothing. I'll tell you what happened. Grace and love just washed over him. It gushed over him. And suddenly, he was changed. That's exactly what I believe God wants to do with each and every one of us. It was grace and love that made him give away half his fortunes. I just want to recap, and there's just a few short ideas that I just want to drop with you. And I just want to take you to a point where you can understand that everything that you have is from God. Everything. It says that in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's read it. Indeed, heaven and the highest earth, or the highest heavens, belong to the Lord your God, also the earth, with all that is in it. You know, we get so conditioned. We get so conditioned. It's about me. I've worked hard for it. It belongs to me. Don't tell me what to do with mine. Listen, it's not yours. You are only appointed as a steward. Jesus comes and he uses this parable and he says, to the one I give one talent, to the other one five, and to the other one, or two and five, I can't remember. Okay, let me just get these numbers right. Or five and ten, I can't remember now. Okay, but in any case, you just need to accept that everybody did not receive the same amount. Just make peace with that. And then the next thing you need to make peace with is it's not from anywhere else but from God. Okay? If you get something back from your tax return, it's a blessing from God. And so the first principle is everything is from God. The book of James actually says it in a different way. It says every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. And I hope that you are still living with this idea that everything is from God. what you have is a blessing from above. And then Deuteronomy 8 verse 17 says the following. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. I mean, many of you sitting here today are much more wealthier than what you started out. And that comes from God. It's a blessing from God. The second thing that I want to say, and this is really something that I think we all need to deal with in regular stages of our lives. Wat is vergenoegdheid? Contentment. Okay, that's the word I'm looking for. Contentment. You all got that. Okay? We need to be more content and more thankful in our lives. We all need to become more content. More thankful. Okay? All right, thankful to God for everything in life. What you have, the roof over your head, everything. And I can tell you now, when you become content, you'll be a happier person. You'll be a happier person. Stop looking around what other people have. And start being content and thankful for that which God has given you. That will also make you stop buying things which you cannot afford. You know, the bigger car, the better golf clubs, the whatever, okay? Because if you are not content, you will always want. And it's our wants that get us into deep trouble financially. And it's chewing us up like cancer from the inside. And often we don't get anywhere in life because we just want more and more and more and more. The third thing that I want to say is that I think we should get to a point where we make peace with the fact that we honor God by giving. Okay? Nobody has ever become poor by giving away. Nobody. Winston Churchill says the following. He says, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Yes, I'm talking to you about giving. And I can only say this because I've got this thing sorted out in my own personal life. It's the number one expense on my monthly budget. Okay? If you want to know how much I'm giving, you know, I'm past the point where I say God's given me His all. He's given me His best. Okay, so I don't cut the line. I don't draw the line at 10%. Okay, I'm just way beyond that. Because this thing of giving 10% can easily become a law that condemns people back under condemnation. And we are under grace. We are not under condemnation. Okay, and I know it is here where people usually slam their heels deep into the ground and say, "Don't talk to me about giving." I just got one question. Is God a giving God? Okay. Do you want God's heart for your own? Then you need to accept that God is a giving heart, God. And if you understand that, you will also become a giving person because your heart will change. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. So, Proverbs 3 verse 9, and I just want to read this. Very simple. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Okay? Have you ever made that the number one priority in your life? Have you ever? Can you imagine if you start sowing? Okay, you know what? You can't harvest what you haven't sown. Often we want a harvest from God, but we're not willing to sow. The principle is what you sow, you will reap. Seed in the ground, fruit out. No seed in the ground, no fruit out. That's a biblical principle. In actual fact, I think it's a creational law. If there is anything like that. Okay, I don't want to make new laws here. But I think it's like a creational principle. What you sow is what you reap. Okay? So, and here is the thing. And this is now really, okay, spiritually, this whole thing of sowing and reaping can create much momentum in your personal life. But here is the thing that is the worst momentum breaker in people's lives, and that is debt. We cannot give because we are too deep to our nostrils in the debt. Okay? We cannot live because of debt. Okay? We are in bondage because of debt. I think in South Africa, more than in any other country in the world, we are a country we are over indebted in loans and cash loans. You know, I've been to Russia. You know, in Russia, you can't borrow any money. Did you know that? The government just does not allow financial institutions to borrow out money. You cannot even buy a car on credit in Russia. And this is the gospel truth. You can go and inquire for yourself if you don't believe me. You want a car in Russia, you buy it cash. Everybody drives old cars. But they're going. So, here is the thing. And we cannot save because we are too deep into debt. Okay, and every single one of us need to sort this thing out. You know what Dave Ramsey says? Debt is dumb and credit destroys. You know the credit cards, you know? Let me just read this again. Debt is dumb and credit destroys. It's destructive. You know, we're teaching our children, when you earn your first salary, buy yourself a car, man. Just buy the car. Okay? And now they're earning X amount, but they're spending like 60% on the installment, the back payment and the insurance. Like 60% of their whole income. How can you ever get a head start in life if you start up to your nose in personal debt? Never. Never. And many of us start with debt and we finish with debt. We even have to take a lump sum from our pension funds to pay off the last debt so we can just retire without debt. And in the process, it's so destructive because we are in slavery. We're in slavery. The best debt is no debt. Really, I'm being very serious here. The best debt is no. And I know there's good debt, okay? If you are an investor and you invest in property, that's good debt. Okay, that's not bad debt, but just keep it affordable. Don't go and buy a property, but you cannot maintain it because it's just going to lose value. That's a bad decision. Okay, so you get good debt and you get bad debt. Okay, let me tell you what bad debt is. Bad debt is to buy a new car and when you drive it off the floor, the value has depreciated with 40%. Boof, in the first 2 years, right there. That's bad debt. Okay, bad debt is to go and buy clothing at wherever, Truest, nice clothing, brand name, whatever. And you know what, you wash it and you hang it on the line. The sun bleaches it. It gets holes inside. And you need to throw it away. And you're still paying off on that item. That's bad decisions. And that's often what we do. I mean, I've had like 5 clothing accounts many years ago. Okay, I just drew a line. I cut them all. And I can borrow you scissors if you like. I want you. Can I have another 5 minutes? Can I have another 5 minutes? I'm empowering you here. I want you to consider getting out of debt ASAP. As soon as possible. Because if you're out of debt, you can start saving. You can start saving for the rainy days. You can start saving for the time that you probably might become retrenched and you've got 3 months' salary that you can still live on. But you cannot do that when you are indebted. I want you to get rid of your debt so that you can save at least 15% of your monthly income in a retirement fund so that you don't have to end up somewhere in a sleazy place after your retirement. I want you to start thinking about spending less on transport. Listen here, I've made this calculation. Anybody who spends more than 10% of their monthly income on transport, it's a bad decision. It's not wise. Anybody who saves less than 10% of their monthly income, it's a bad decision. It's not wise. That's apart from the 10% biblical giving. If you really want to you know, go there. I don't want to go there. Okay, I give more than that. Anybody who spends more than 25% on accommodation is overspending on accommodation. It's actually unaffordable accommodation. Downgrade. You know, but we're living in a westernized world. We just want to go bigger. I want the big house. I want the big car, the big yard, okay? All right, and you see those guys driving with a smile on their face, okay? BMWs, Mercedes, says, I've got nothing against the Merc. I love a Merc. I haven't got one, but I like it, okay? But you saw the smile? It's actually hunger pangs. Just joking, okay? Just joking. Listen, if you can afford the German car, buy it. But if you cannot, trade it in as soon as possible. Okay. Okay, and here is the other thing. And I think I've touched on it. But I just want to go through the next two verses with you. Listen to this. The borrower is a servant of the lender. How can you say God is your master, but you still serve the one who you owe money? See, God wants to liberate us, people. This is very spiritual. Because when you are financially liberated, you can live a much more meaningful life towards the kingdom of God and the advancement of the kingdom. And now you can have a different kind of momentum. And then the last thing I want to say is that I really would like to see my church developing a culture of saving up money. Because it's biblical. Let's read it. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. You say, but shouldn't we just trust God? Okay, I'll take you to Genesis. What did God say to Joseph during the dream where he had the revelation? The 7 years of drought and the 7 good years. What did God say to Joseph? He said to Joseph, Joseph, there's 7 good years coming. You're going to harvest a lot. But I want to save it up because there's 7 dry years coming. You see, the world economy has been working in cycles for more than 4,000 years. Listen to what I'm saying. And we are in a cycle. We are actually in a recession. Technically, we are in a recession. But we haven't saved up for the dry years. And that's why we're struggling. So we're not saving. So, I want to close and I want to say this. That I think many of us sit here today, myself included, because I've still got a few things to sort out regarding this. I'm being a bit vulnerable here, okay? All right, I've still got stuff to sort out. Okay, I haven't gotten this all, you know, conquered already. But I know where I'm going, and I'm not going to rest until I am personally financially liberated. And you say to me, yeah, but I so much want to do this. I so much want to give. I so much want to sow. When should I start? Listen here. You know what? I'm going to leave that to you. I'm going to leave that to you. I'll tell you what I'll do. Next year, during the evening services, I will do a 6-week course on finances, biblical finances. And I will sit with you and I will even coach and counsel you if necessary. That's what I'll do. Okay? But here is my question. What happened about faith? Do you still have faith? Do you trust God for other things but not for this? And are you willing today to say, Lord, reign in me again? In a new way, where 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, I don't know how long it will take you to get out of debt, but even if it takes 5 years, it's worth every single bit of waiting. You can start getting momentum, personal momentum. Okay, my children leave school. I can give them a kickstart in life because I'm debt-free. I can help them. Okay, my grandchildren one day, all right, myself and my children are going to work together. And we're going to create a kind of momentum where people in the world can see a different way of thinking regarding money. We are liberated. The world will not tell us what to do with our money. We will boost it into our grandchildren, and the generations after us can be completely liberated. And that is what I want you to see, even in your personal life. Imagine you get that pay slip, and you know that this money is surrendered under the King and nobody else. That to me is quite spiritual. That's very spiritual. So I would just like you to close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. Oh, this is so difficult to talk about. You don't know if I have to preach on this. I just say, Lord, can't I just talk about something else? It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not the easiest topic. But I wish earlier on in my life that my pastor would have taught me these things. I so wish it. And I wish for you that you will be liberated like Zacchaeus was liberated. That's what I wish.